Praise God, it's the river of God's anointing. Yes, it is. The presence of God in our lives, which we thank Him for so much. That's what it's all about, the river of His anointing, His presence in our lives. We are live in the studio today, dear ones. We weren't last week, and that was the first time in 10 years we have not been live, or I guess the very first show we ever did was pre-recorded, but after that we never did one. So we, because of Christmas Day and we were all busy with out-of-town family, etc., we decided to use a rerun. But we are live right here on New Year's Day 2017. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Along with me today is my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. So good to have you in the studio.
Good to be here, and happy New Year, everyone.
Yes, absolutely. And we got Nan Watson in here, too, and it's always a joy to have her in here and live. And some of our radio team call in, and it's nice to have you two in the studio today.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah.
It's always a blessing to be here, and also to come from nursing home ministry over here. That's so exciting.
You know, Nan, it is. And, you know, I don't care how busy we are in our lives, etc., and we all are, but the first Sunday of every month is Palm Garden Nursing Home Ministry, now for over 6 years that we've done that.
Unbelievable.
First Sunday. Isn't that great, PJ? And that we started, I told them today, we started that when Jeannie, one of our church members that we miss very much, was living there, and also my mother, who had fallen at that particular time, was living in another nursing home and got transferred there for rehab. And so that's kind of how we began at Palm Garden Nursing Home 6 years plus ago. And, you know, the faithfulness, I've been thinking about this word a lot as we start a new year. Faithfulness is a very important point with God. God is faithful. He is faithful to His promises. And God, when He makes you a promise, well, look out, because He's faithful if we do our part, you know, and believe Him for that. Talk to me about that, because we've been faithful in this nursing home ministry, and in here on the radio, we're in our 10th year, and what a joy.
It is a joy, and God has been faithful. You know, as church treasurer, I tend to get a little nervous.
Right, yes.
but the Lord has always come through.
Amen.
Always, and He is faithful.
And we don't get on the radio and beg for money. We never have. Yes, it's great. This ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries, now in our 15th year, 10th year on the radio, is good soil to plant your finances, to plant your tithes and offerings, because all we're about is the Word of God. We're not a social club. You know, we have fun together, Bible study and parties and all of that, but it's not about the social aspect for us. It is about getting the Word of God spread across the airwaves around the world, and as efficiently and as anointed as we possibly can. Right, PJ? You and I, we've been together now. You're my associate pastor since 08, I believe. Long time. We've been working together. And, I mean, I feel like you and me, Nan, and some of our others, we know each other, I mean, so well in the spirit. You
right.
know, we know where we're coming from. I trust you. You trust me. I'm just speaking for you. But anyway, you want to comment on that as I ramble on? As I ramble on, it's a new year. I'm going to continue to ramble. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I think it's great that we have that relationship, because, well, if any of you can make it to Wednesday night, you'll see us. I'll be turning to a scripture sometimes, and the pastor says, that's exactly where I was going.
Right, exactly.
It's like we're so kind of so in sync, or the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, keeps us in sync enough
right.
that we can just kind of bounce things off each other.
Right.
Nan, you've witnessed that.
Oh, yeah. Many times.
Happens all the time, doesn't it?
And it's so cool, I mean, to see, you know, to see the Holy Spirit there moving.
Yeah.
That's the way that he moves.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so cool to see when that happens. And it happens often.
And, you know, the radio ministry here, this show on Sunday afternoons, at doing this now 10 years, it is, I never get tired. I never dread coming to the radio station every Sunday afternoon. Yeah, it causes me during football season to miss some games. And, yeah, stuff like that. But you know what? It's the greatest joy to be able to sit right here in this chair behind this mic week after week after week and give out the life-giving Word of God. I don't know about you two, but it blesses me just to be able to be here and to do what we do. Talk to me about that, Nan, because you seem that way too, and Jim is too.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's a blessing to be involved with such a ministry and to know that God is using each of us individually and collectively.
That's right.
In ministry to a lot of people who are hurting, who need to hear the message that is given out on these radio shows. And like
yes.
I believe you said, if not, you know, we don't come scripted with, okay,
oh, no.
Here's what you're going to say and here's what you're going to say. You know
no.
the general idea, you have the scripture. The Holy Spirit moves in such a way that the what is being said falls
yes.
perfectly with the songs. I mean,
yes.
he brings it together. He brings
him.
It together. It's him.
It's
you
him.
Know?
I mean, as we start this new year, let's give glory to who it's due. I mean, it's God week after week after week bringing the music together, bringing the comments, bringing the scriptures, what we're talking about, together to have an impactful, anointed show that hopefully is changing lives out there. I mean, now we are around the globe with Starcom Radio Network on this station, which is tantalknetwork.com. You can hear the podcasts indefinitely. We put them on our website. I mean, there's so many ways now with technology, Pastor Jim. As we start this new year, I'm just so blessed that we have the opportunity to be on the air today. I'm just thanking God for this today.
Amen. Amen. It's, well, going back to some of the earlier comments, it's never been a drudge.
Right.
You know, I love being on the radio. I love talking.
Right.
But I love talking about the Word.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, sharing what God has done. And, yeah, it's something that we may never know on this side of heaven.
Absolutely.
How many people we've helped. Because we, you
yes.
know, we are now around the world. And this side of heaven, we're not probably never going to hear from everybody that listens, everybody that we've helped.
We don't hear from very many, but you know what? That's okay. It's all right, because we'll just keep doing it. And it's that faith walk, isn't it?
Right, right. We're planting seeds of the Word in faith, even though we may not be the ones to do the harvesting.
Right, right.
You know, our job is to plant.
Absolutely it is. And that's what this show's all about, living the good life. And it is about that good life that God has for us because he is good. And Nahum 1:7 says, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those who put their trust in him. I love that verse. We used to sing it at my church up in Indiana. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those who put their trust in him. Nahum 1:7. We start the show with that today. And we start the show with a song by the group 10th Avenue North, All the Same.
A thousand voices, a thousand lives, a thousand prayers rise in the night. What is it we seek? So many stories, Lord, I hear, and all these questions in my ears. Can we come out clean? Different faces, different fears, different failures.
Same. We really are. We all need a change. And on, you know, New Year's Day of this new year, that song kind of says it okay. We're all the same. We all want to have things different in our lives. Probably some of us are feeling a lot of regret for some things in the past, maybe in this past year. And it is traditionally the day that we make our New Year's resolutions and we say we're going to do a better job of living. We're going to be kinder. We're going to be sweeter, more lovely. And we're going to, just do a better job of living, you know. And so all of us have these things. And we're going to talk today about somebody who had a lot of issues. So that's probably a good place to start, don't you think? With somebody who had a lot of issues. As we get ready to start this new year, Pastor Jim, don't you think there's a lot of people that start the new year with here I go again making resolutions that I won't keep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be me.
All of us feel that way.
I mean, we start out with the best of intentions.
Sure.
And yet something happens. We're working maybe on our diets and we get under stress.
Right. We eat.
And if we, if you're like me, you tend to go for the comfort food at that point.
Right. Sure.
And it's kind of the nature of things, which is not, I'm not making an excuse for it.
Right.
But it's just, I think sometimes we set too high end expectation.
We do, I think.
Maybe
yeah.
We need to just say, in this upcoming year, these are my intentions.
Right.
And
when we're talking about resolutions, intentions, and whatever, today we're going to talk about our spiritual goals, we all have those weight loss things and all those going to the gym, I'm going to go more often this year, which absolutely I intend to do. However, today we want to really talk about the new series that we're starting today on the radio, Going the Distance. And this whole concept's been on my heart a lot lately because it is so easy to really just kind of get lazy in our spiritual lives, don't you think, Pastor Jim? And I'm going to go to Nan for her comments in a minute. But, I mean, this is human nature where, when we first get saved, we used to, in our generation, yours and mine, back in Ball State and college, we were Jesus freaks, right? We were all so...
Who are you calling Jesus freaks?
Me and you. Yeah, you and me, right? So...
Well, yeah. Over the years, and for me it's been well over 40, there have been hot times, there have been cold times, there have been lukewarm times, and sometimes... It is, like you said, we keep the fire going can sometimes be difficult.
Right.
But I think it's not on the Lord's part, at least from my experience.
Oh, no, it's our part.
It's always been mine.
Right, exactly. It's ours.
Either I'm wanting to be rebellious or I'm just wanting to be complacent or, whatever, kind of don't bother me right now, Lord.
Right, sure.
And so it's not on God's part, but, sometimes we get tired of swimming against the stream.
Right.
We go against, as Christians, we tend to go against the flow.
Right.
Quite a bit. And that, if we don't rely on Jesus, we don't rely on the Holy Spirit, then we're gonna fail from exhaustion. I mean, the angel of the Lord told Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
That's something I always need to remember because so often in our walk, we start trying to do things on our own.
Oh, yeah.
And it cannot be that way because we're just going to wear ourselves out.
Well, that's one reason I kind of like that song we just played, because we're all kind of the same as far as human nature, mm-hmm. that we will go great guns on something for a while, a new fad, a new show that we're watching, or a new diet or whatever, and then we just kind of taper out. I mean, that's human nature. We're all kind of like that.
Yeah.
Where, but you know what is so interesting is God's not like that at all. His love for us, his excitement about us, his joy when we praise him, his love when we worship him, it never gets old for him to see us worshiping, praising, whatever. Nan, do you have a comment to any of that?
Well, we just celebrate Jesus.
Right.
And we celebrate Jesus. I mean, we can do that year round. I mean, kind of, you know, at Christmas time, well, a lot of people don't celebrate Jesus. They just give gifts because that's what they expected of them. And
exactly.
And they enjoy, you know, lavishing things upon their friends and family, not to take away from that. But the true meaning of Christmas is Jesus.
Right.
So we celebrate him then, but we can celebrate him throughout the year.
Oh, absolutely.
By our praise, by our worship, by us walking the life in the steps that he would have us to walk and the way he would like us to behave. Like Pastor Jim was talking
about
going against the stream. Sometimes it gets, you know, like the fish going against the way the rest of them are going. Sometimes right. It gets tired. But
swimming,
you know,
upstream can be hard.
There, that's it. Thank you.
When you said that, it reminded me of my kayak. And many times I'm out there at the causeway. And if, you know, let's say I just get in the kayak and I think, I don't really feel like paddling today. Well, you know what? The current's going to take me either right back where I started, right into the shore, into the sand, or it's going to take me out. You know, the current is going to do, it's going to take you somewhere mm-hmm. if you make no effort to go and get to where you want to go, right? For me, I love to go, like, takes 25 minutes to go across to the causeway and paddle across there. And you can get into some rough water. You can get into some other boats coming, you know, big boats, etc. But if you're not staying with it, you're going to drift back to the shore, or you're going to get into the rocks, which happened to me one day in a storm years ago. There's all kinds of things that can happen if you're not purposefully headed a certain way. This series is about going the distance with God for our spiritual lives and doing it purposefully, intentionally, and having goals and taking time to read the Word and listen to shows like this where you can get faithed up mm-hmm. and be encouraged. Talk to me about all that, PJ. I mean, it's intentional is what this new year needs to be.
Exactly. We need to make it our intent, and we need to be very intentional about how we're going to listen to God, how we're right. going to walk with God, whose voice are we going to be hearing
this
year?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Where, and just being really intentional about seeking God.
Exactly.
What do you want from me this year, Lord? What do you want, not just in general, not just like, I want you to keep walking with me.
No.
But what specifically, Lord, do you have
exactly.
for me to do? And one thing our listeners, you know, he's got something for each one of our listeners
right.
to do, something
yes.
intentional,
yes.
something that God has planned since before the creation of the world that
Amen.
Only you can do.
I totally agree. I just got back from Mexico, and I saw God's hand many times in those 2 weeks. And the word that's coming to me when you're talking right there, Pastor Jim, is divine appointments. God has them ready for us in this new year, and we should go after those divine appointments. What is it that God wants me to do this year, maybe that I didn't do, get done last year?
Right.
Nan, you want to talk about that? Divine appointments.
There are times in our lives that we have that. You know, we have divine appointments.
Oh,
and it's,
yeah.
It's so, so cool when that happens.
I think we'd have more if we had a heart ready for them.
We would. I want to share something on the side here just a
you
little bit.
You go right
I
ahead.
My insurance company has a plan that you can get points by doing surveys online, certain things. It'll set goals for certain things. You can select goals for certain things, and you get points. And you can spend the points in the mall online, and you get stuff.
Oh, wow.
So
Like if you work out, if you eat right, if you eat green leafy vegetables,
etc. Green leafy vegetables, that's good kind of stuff. Okay. So what I did go and I joined a gym.
Okay.
Scanned my card just to see if it would show the points on my account. And yesterday I saw the points on my account. So
whoa,
that was kind of cool. So, but I'm saying that to say we need to have goals.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
My goal is I've got my sights on one particular thing I'm wanting to get.
Right.
And I'm going to have to get a lot of points to be able to get up to that point. But I can do it by taking steps, walking, getting
yes,
points,
yes,
going to the gym, doing the things online, doing certain preventative type of things that you do medically. You get points for that.
Right.
But in the midst of all that, you can also have a coach. And you can text, you know, you email back and forth with this coach. You know, of course, a lot of it's generic stuff, of course. They're not giving you one-on-one all the time. But you get points for communicating with your coach. But that coach is there to help encourage you. It's like, why did you start doing this? I hadn't heard from you in a long time. Why are you doing it? Why are you, you know? And so I was giving back, why? So I have like a coach. And just as I have a coach with this particular program,
yes,
and I have goals of what I'm going for and points that I'm needing to get, so is God our coach.
Yes, he is.
And I believe we would see more divine appointments as we're listening to our coach.
I totally agree.
You know, I mean, anyway, the coach thing just kind of hit me.
I totally agree, and that's an excellent point. And as we start this new year on the radio, this series, Going the Distance, it's all about listening to your coach. It's all about setting those goals. You know, time management says set short-term goals, you know these things you can go to, these classes. And it's so important that we realize that the most important goals in our life really are spiritual goals. I mean, the wellness and the health, that's excellent. But the most important goals we can have and the most important things we need to accomplish in this year are spiritual. Talk to me about that, PJ, before we go to John chapter 4.
Well, everything starts from the spirit anyway.
Yes.
And, if you're really listening and listening to God in your spirit, everything else is going to start to fall into place.
That's right.
He's going to tell you, well, you know what? You maybe need to change your diet.
Right.
Maybe you need to exercise a little bit more. Maybe you need to walk. Maybe you need to get in the Word a little more. Maybe you just need to be a little more loving. I mean, he'll direct you by the Holy Spirit.
He will.
Believe me, I mean, he'll smack you between the eyes with the Word to get your attention.
Absolutely. He does that.
And that's fine because he does it with love.
Mm-hmm.
And not literally smack you in the head, but, you know, he'll, a scripture will leap out and suddenly it's like, oh yeah, that's for me. This morning, God reminded me of some scriptures that definitely needed to apply to my life. And I read them over in my head and, boy, that sure made my life go smooth, because, that was the Word and that
right,
was the Spirit working together. And that's what's important, because if you're doing that, everything else is going to fall into place. That's not to say that everything's going to be peach keen, hunky dory. There's not going to be a problem or an issue, but
right,
you're going to be much better prepared to deal with whatever comes along your way.
Absolutely.
If you're strengthened in the words and strengthened by the Spirit, if you're building yourself up.
I agree entirely. And I also feel like from my own life all these years, having many January 1s in my life, that it's easy to fall back into an old habit of it not really changing anything, really, you know? And the Lord has just been speaking to my heart. I mean, guys, from my heart for the last several weeks here, and it's that it is time to get this word out that our spiritual lives really are the most important lives we live.
Mm-hmm.
Our physical, our health, all of those things, our emotional life, all that stuff's important, but the most important, what's going to count for eternity, is what we do with our spiritual lives. And that's why this topic of going the distance has just been ingrained in me in the last few weeks. Being in Mexico, seeing the importance of reaching out beyond our comfort zones. There were many times in Mexico this time that I was not comfortable physically. I walked a whole lot. I climbed a whole lot. There were things physically that were hard this time. But I will also say this was the best trip I've made because there were so many encounters that were divine appointments, perfect timing, things that could not have happened any other way but the way they did because we were in tune with what does God want for today. So let's go to John chapter 4, and there is a woman who's going to have a divine appointment here. And Jesus, and PJ, if you want to just give a little brief why Jesus walked through Samaria when he didn't have to, like you did Wednesday night, that would be really good to help our audience understand why John 4 happened.
Okay. Well, in the days of the divided kingdom, long, long before the time of Jesus, the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, fell to the Assyrians in 721, 722 BC. And as was normal practice, what you did, you would deport most of the population to somewhere else. You'd send them, well, like when Judah fell, the Jews got sent to Babylon. Well, in this case, they got sent to Assyria and actually as far as Persia.
Right.
But rather than let the land just go, the Assyrians brought in some foreigners. And these foreigners were pagan, and even though God had judged Israel, he wasn't going to stand for pagans living there. So he sent lions among them and killed a bunch of them.
Okay.
So the king decided, I got to work out something here. So he got some priests to come in, some Levites, some Levitical priests to come in and try and teach these people about, you know, the commandments, the laws of God. Well, of course, the priests in the northern kingdom weren't much better than the leaders. But so there was a form of Judaism in Samaria, but they were like half-breeds.
Okay.
They were kind of half-breeds. So any quote-unquote good Jew in that time would not go through Samaria.
Right.
You'd go across, you'd cross over on, to get on the east side of the Jordan, go up that side of the Jordan River, and then cross back over to get into Galilee, just to avoid being in Samaria.
Even though
it was a much more direct route. I mean, just
right.
Straight up, you know, straight north. So, but because there was a, well, it was a racism.
It was racist.
Against the Samaritans, you know, that's why you have the story of the Good Samaritan, why it made such an impact.
Oh, yeah, the Samaritan,
was because this was a half-breed Samaritan. You know, this is some sort of half-breed doing this. So normally, you know, this was just unheard of, that you would purposefully, intentionally go through Samaria.
There's those two words again. Ring the bell, Nan or PJ there. Intentional, purposeful. Who did go through Samaria in John 4? Who's the central person in the story?
Jesus.
And it says here in verse 4 of John 4, to get there, he had to pass through Samaria, although we know he didn't really have to. He chose to do that. Okay? And he went and he sat down by the well of Jacob. And this had been a long time before when Jacob had built this well. Jesus intentionally went there. This was a place that the people would come, the women would come to draw water. And it was a place where somebody like Jesus probably would not have normally done any of this that we see in John 4. But again, it talks about how God includes every single one of us in salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it doesn't say except the Samaritans or except some other group or some race or whatever. It says whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? That's John 3:16. We all know that, right? Jesus goes intentionally into Samaria and he comes to this well. and he's tired from the trip. That's his humanity. He sits down. It was noon. Had to be hot. There was a woman there, a Samaritan. Verse 7. She came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Would you give me a drink of water?" Now, his disciples had gone into the village to buy food, so he was just sitting there. And the woman is shocked, right, PJ? Why is she shocked to be asked for water?
Well, first of all, men normally wouldn't do that anyway.
Right.
Certainly not. I mean, you know, here was Jesus, a Jew.
Right.
Asking a Samaritan woman.
Right.
So that's, you know, he tended.
Kind of out of place.
Right. He tended to break convention anyway.
Yes, he
certainly did in this
case. Yes, he did. Right. And so he does that here. And he says, and she says to him, "How come," I'm in verse 9 of John 4, "how come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days, I'm in the Message Bible, wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered this wonderful, wonderful verse. If you mark in your Bible, you need to mark verse 10 of John 4. In the Message Bible, it says, Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." I love that. Man, how important is the generosity of God, and do we all have it, or do you have to be really pretty perfect in order to be the recipient of the generosity of God?
Thank goodness you don't have to. I wouldn't be able to be.
Right.
No, the generosity of God, I mean, such an impact that he has on our life by his generosity.
Yes.
You know, and we get to see when he's done just wonderful, wonderful things in our lives because of his generosity. It's not because of who we are or what we've done or how good we've been. It's his generosity poured out upon us.
Oh, absolutely. And I find it so interesting here that he said, if you knew the generosity of God and who I am, okay? Wednesday night, we tied this to verse Hebrews 11:6. And that was just something God showed me right before Bible study, actually in the afternoon. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because we must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We got to first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder. And right here in John 4:10, Jesus said, if you knew the generosity, there's the rewards, and who I am. So we must know who he is, and we must expect the rewards. Tell me, most children, maybe not all children in America, but a lot of children on Christmas morning are expecting a reward for being good.
Right. They're expecting Santa.
They're expecting Santa to have, right? And my little twin great-granddaughters told me yesterday, we've been good, we'd be good. Santa came. Yeah, because they've been good. Well, I don't know if they've really been that good, actually. But they were expecting a reward, right? Which we all, and God says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because first, we must believe that who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's a rewarder. Talk to us about all that, PJ. I love that he put this right here to the woman.
Yeah, I love the way those two verses fit together.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have to believe that he is. And I like the fact that it uses present tense.
Right.
He is right now. God exists. And that he is the rewarder.
Yeah.
Of those that diligently seek him, that continually seek him. That's what he's after. People.
Absolutely.
It's like the widow and the judge, you know, she continually knocking on the door, trying to get his attention. And eventually he gave in. And, you know, with God, you know, he says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, and you're going to get what you want or what you need. And it's not just, okay, God, I need this, and then you let it go. Sometimes you got to hang on to it. I had a professor in college who taught me, he was my New Testament Greek teacher. The word for faith in Greek is, it gets into Latin as Fido, like a dog, Fido. Right.
Okay.
Where you sink your teeth into something and you don't let go.
Whoa, that's good. And, I like that.
You know, that's what faith is. And yes. Believe in God, we have to believe that it is. We have to yes. sink our teeth into that yes. and not let go of it, because so many people today are trying to tell us, oh, God doesn't exist. Or
right.
Jesus was not God, or, you know, whatever, blah, 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 crap they want to give out. Crappe, sorry.
Right, yes.
But when, you know, the God of the Bible right. is the one true God.
Amen. Amen.
And
amen.
No matter what people say, we have to hold on to that.
Yes.
Jesus is the Son of God. God right. come in the flesh. And to say, you know, I love that quote by C.S. Lewis, to say he's just a great moral teacher.
Right.
Is basically nonsensical, because right. he never gave us that option.
Right.
The things, if you read, especially in John, the things Jesus said about himself.
Yes, yes.
He either was what he said he was, or he was crazy.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Remember what Josh McDowell says in Evidence That Demands a Verdict? He's either a liar, a lunatic,
or Lord.
And yeah, Jesus here is saying, if you knew how generous God was, and if you knew who you're sitting with here, right here at the well,
right.
I mean, I'm the Lord, I'm the King of Kings, I'm the Messiah. And as this story develops, you see that she begins to get that picture.
Right.
And
right.
I think as we start this new year, as we're talking about going the distance, people, it has everything to do. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord? Do you believe that he's the Son of God? Do you believe that he came to this earth as the Messiah? Do you believe he's the one that forgives your sins and heals your body? I mean, and if so, do you understand that he's generous?
Well, and
yeah.
and all of that, you know, coming to, well, Jesus said in his prayer in John 17, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus, the Messiah, whom you have sent.
That's exactly what he said.
Once we know Jesus, that opens the door to God's generosity.
Amen.
Because Jesus takes away every sin. He didn't just die for some of your sins or your little sins or your big sins. He died for all your sins.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter how big or little you think they are. His blood took them away.
Wow.
And that opens the gate.
Yes.
Then for God to be generous, he can freely give to us, because when he looks at us, he doesn't see us. He sees Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And so Jesus is saying right here and pointing it out to her, if you really understood who I am, and if you really understood how generous God is, mm-hmm. well, you would be asking for fresh living water. He's our everlasting God. Listen to this song, and then we're going to get back with Nan and PJ in just a minute. Love it. Wrong song. I'm going to stop it and go back to the one I wanted here. Okay. Because of the generosity of God. Whoa, guys, because of that, we can so praise him. We can so bless him. That's what we're doing, even with these songs right here. Now, that's it. Everlasting God.
Strength arises, we wait.
Whoa,
upon
yeah.
the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon. You are
Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall and exhaust. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
I love that song, Lincoln Brewster. That must be his daughter, I believe it is.
I think so.
Many years ago. Wow. He is the everlasting God, and he was sitting right here at a well in Samaria with the woman at the well. Nan, what did God give you during that?
You can have my strength. I am here for you. I will bless you, child. This is one thing that I'll do. I will hold you up as difficult as you face. You will make it through by my loving grace. So wait upon me, precious one. You will fill me there. So look to me for strength while you seek me in prayer. That's the way he inspired him.
So get with it here.
Exactly.
Right? Oh, my gosh. He is the everlasting God. I had a different song plan, and as we were talking, I'd switch CDs. You guys could see that's what happened in here in the control room, and that's why it got kind of crazy. But anyway, that song says that he is the everlasting God. Strength arises when we wait upon him. You know, as we start this new year, you want to be strong. You want to be strong spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, all of it. Get everything straightened out with God on this very first day of the new year, mm-hmm. and realize he is the everlasting God. Strength rises as we wait upon him. Woo, did you have something to add to that, Nan, before we go back to the woman at the well?
Well, I know for me personally, since the new year began at midnight,
yeah,
I was spending some time with the Lord at that time.
Cool.
And this is what I felt led to do. And so that's what I did. And, you know, I sat there with my journal and was writing things to him. And you know the way that he'll kind of share back and give us thoughts and speak back to us. And he did that. And it was just some, you know, it was just very encouraging time for me.
Right.
And it was because of spending time with him, like
Amen.
You just said. It was encouraging. It was uplifting. It was like, refocus, Nan, refocus. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Get refocused now and carry it through.
Refocus
and carry it through. We can refocus, but we need to have the longevity of continuing in what we have focused on, what the Lord wants us to do. We need to maintain our sights on the goal.
Right.
And keep working towards that. And spiritually, keep working towards that.
Absolutely. And that goes right along with, have you two read the Today, January 1, and Jesus Calling, the devotional by Sarah Young?
Not yet.
I only wrote down part of it, but it goes right along with what we're talking about today. This is as if God is talking to us and to you, listening audience. Come to me, this is God talking, with a teachable spirit, eager to be changed. A close walk with me, God, is a life of continual newness. Do not cling to old ways as you step into a new year. Instead, seek my face with an open mind, knowing that your journey with me involves being transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you focus your thoughts on me, be aware that I am fully attentive to you. And there's more, but that part is what I wrote down as we start this new year. And we see that with a woman at the well, because her focus was on this weird stranger who said, give me a drink. And she's going, you know, that's not really normal for you, a Jew, to ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water. And he answers, if you really knew who I was and how generous God is, you'd ask for fresh living water. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, PJ, with that.
Well, and she's still kind of stuck in the natural.
Oh,
because
yeah.
She says, but you have nothing to draw. you don't have a bucket.
You don't have a bucket.
You know, you have nothing to draw from, and the well is deep, so where are you going to get this living water? And she may have been interpreting it as running water.
Right.
Because running water was also known as living water.
Right.
Which I think is a good symbol. Anyway,
yeah, it is.
And then, you know, she's so funny. Are you greater than our father, Jacob, which gave us this well? Okay, so who do you think you are, Jacob?
Right.
Okay. And, you know, Jesus didn't take up that challenge. He just said, okay, you drink.
Verse 13.
You drink of this water, you're going to get thirsty again. It's just natural water, and naturally you're going to get thirsty. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life.
Whoa, there you go.
And, you know, it's like Jesus refocused her.
Yes.
Okay, get your mind off the natural. What I'm talking about is something completely different. Okay, he's going to give her living water and she'll thirst no more.
Right.
And it's going to spring up. I love that. It's just going to bubble
up
into a well, into everlasting life, like an ever-flowing stream of everlasting life.
Right.
And finally, she got it.
And she says, give it to me.
Yeah, sir, give this to me so that I thirst not. But again, she's not quite clear. Because she says, so that I don't get thirsty and I don't have to come back here to get some water.
Right. That's kind of, I don't think she fully got it at that point.
Yeah.
And for that reason, Jesus does something that is so fascinating to me.
I just saw that. That's exactly why he did that, because she was still thinking natural.
Right.
He had to jolt her into thinking spiritual.
Supernatural. Yeah. Yes, he did.
He had to jolt her into thinking about the Spirit.
So he's using a gift of the Spirit, word of knowledge, and he says, oh, go ahead and tell your husband to come here. We'll talk about it, and then come back. And she says in verse 17, I have no husband. And I love this in the Message Bible. He says, oh, that's nicely put. I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough. I love it. He's calling her on her lie, her deception.
Mm-hmm.
And why was he making a point of this, Pastor Jim?
Well, obviously not not to shame her.
No, it's not to shame her.
But it was to refocus. It was, like I said, to jolt her.
Yes.
Sometimes God will do that, to jolt us, to get us to refocus back to the spiritual.
That's right.
And if it was just to be mean or judgmental, he would not have said, I don't think he would have said it in the way he said it.
Right.
You know, he would have called her nasty names, probably.
Right. Oh, what's John 3:17? For Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world.
But the world might be saved through him.
Exactly. So this is not a
God points out what's wrong.
Right.
In order to bring us to repentance.
Yes.
In order to bring us back into relationship with him.
He's not saying it's okay that you're doing this, but
he's saying, I just need you to acknowledge this, then we can move on together.
Absolutely.
And so basically, you know, he says, you know, you've said, well, you don't have a husband. You got five.
Right.
And the one you're living with now is not your husband.
Right.
And finally, it sinks in a little bit. She says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet.
Right.
Well,
that's a duh moment, isn't it?
That's kind of a duh moment.
Yeah.
And then she does, again, I think she is so human. I've been thinking about this. She is just so us.
So us.
Because when God does something like this with us, like points it out, what does she do? She deflects the conversation again.
Absolutely.
She tries to steer the conversation away from the point of who Jesus is. Well, you know what? Our forefathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews say the only place you can do that is Jerusalem.
She's totally diverting the issue, getting off the subject.
And it could look at one point like, I perceive you're a prophet. I understand you're a prophet. And then she tries to
swerve
the conversation around a little bit.
So human.
Instead of just saying, oh, you're right, I'm sorry, tell me what I need to do. She says, I perceive you're a prophet. Let's talk theology for a minute,
right.
Shall we?
Yeah, let's talk. Let's get off the subject. And people do this.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, instead of facing, and we all are human. Humanly, we are prone to do that when the Holy Spirit points something out in our lives that we don't want to see or we don't want to change. So often we just change the subject with God, or we just shut down. Mm-hmm. Close the Bible or say, okay, oh, phone's ringing, got to take that. Or we get off, you know what I'm talking about, Nan? Talk to us about this, how we get off of the subject when God's trying to deal with us. My opinion.
Well, he loves us, which is why he does that.
Yes.
You know, and he has our best interest at heart, as he did with this lady, that he wanted to for her to receive eternal life. The ever living water that flows, the living water that flows. And, you know, there's times in our lives, I know in my life that I hadn't used this term for years, but God would check my spirit.
Remember okay, that, yeah,
that,
yeah.
Remember that term was real popular back in the 80s and 90s?
Put a check in my spirit.
Explain that to our audience. Some people may not have grown up with that term like the three of us did.
I'm sorry. You know, we're bouncing along, we're doing fine. Maybe the Lord's starting to show us something. It's like a check in your spirit. Like he checks you. He says, wait, look at this. Look at what you're doing. Did I describe that okay, or do you need to describe it?
No, that's pretty good. It's kind of like a stop and like...
A halt.
And don't go with that right now. Let's think on that. Let's discuss that a little. PJ, do you have something to add to that?
Well, I was going to say,
your spirit?
Yeah, normally, at least when I've experienced that, it's been like when somebody's had a word from God for me. Not recently, and certainly not any of the words I've gotten recently, but back in those crazy 70s and 80s.
Right.
Some of it just doesn't sit right.
Right.
You know?
Doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right. And you know that in your spirit, because the Spirit of God's going to witness with your spirit.
That's exactly right.
If it's truly a word from God, like, you know, some of the words I've gotten at Beacon, it's like, oh yeah, okay. That,
right.
You know, it fits.
Fits.
Whereas if it's not going to fit, or if you need to wait on it, God will put a check there.
You'll know.
God will say wait.
One thing I thought of came to mind from back in probably the 80s, a lady at church, a well-meaning lady at church, one of the elders of the church, and just kind of a well-meaning but semi-busybody lady, spoke to me one time and said, God told me to tell you, and she proceeded to tell me what God had told her. And I knew that that wasn't right. It didn't settle that it was from God. It was from that lady because of what the nature of what she told me. So as to be respectful to her and not, you know, be mean to her, I simply looked at her and I said, thank you for pointing that out. I will pray about it.
Yeah.
And then that way, that didn't offend
just
her.
Just let it go.
And I just... laughed. I didn't laugh about it, but I mean, I just kind of let it go because it was not anything that the Lord was saying, you know.
Right.
So we have to be careful. You know, I know you're talking about the prophecies, and you know, we've had them at Beacon. They've all been in line for me whenever that has happened.
Yeah.
They've all been in line for me.
Betty, who's one of our contributors here on the radio team, just texted me and she said, I believe this woman at the well had a divine appointment, and she's right on. That's what we're talking about mm-hmm. right here. And I propose, folks, that in 2017, we should be asking God for divine appointments. I had some in Mexico that made my hair stand on end almost. And I don't have time to go into that right this minute. But I will tell you that there is not one doubt in my mind that those 2 weeks I just spent, the first 2 weeks of December, in Puebla and in Querétaro and in Guanajuato and every place I went, Cholula, were divine appointments, and I was right where I needed to be at that moment. And so this woman at the well was ready for a divine intervention. This is my question as we finish this first hour, and I can't believe it's already up here, is are you, dear listener, ready for some divine appointments this year? Do you want to have some encounters with God that are going to be life-changing? I'm going to answer that for me, and I'm going to say yes, Lord, yes. That's where I'm coming from. And that's why Going the Distance, this new series, I know already is going to change my life as I prepare and as I teach it. Station ID, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.